Colossians chapter 3. Your favorite chapter, Eric. A little pressure. Favorite chapter. Colossians chapter 3. You know, my favorite book is the one I'm currently preaching. And I'm just so terrible about that, right? So I'm loving Isaiah on Wednesday nights. I'm loving Colossians. Those two have been so good for me. Romans on Sunday night. Those, all three of those have been so good for me. It's exactly what your pastor needed. And I pray that God ministering to me, that I'll be able to minister to you back what God's doing in my heart. And I love it. I'm excited just what the Lord's doing in my heart. I pray he'll do something in your heart. Let's read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Yes, I doubt I'll get through verse 7. But there is always hope that I might. But I think we'll see how far we get. But this is just, it's going to be a great passage for us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them." Title of the message this morning, just simple, things above. Before I jump into this message, and this message will primarily be to those that are risen in Christ. Do you see that? He says, if you then be risen with Christ. And so that's the real question for you. And I tell people this all the time. You've heard it too many times. You're tired of it. But the Bible is primarily written to believers. It's primarily written to those that follow and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's important to understand. Yes, there is an important message for those that are not believers and followers of Christ, but this particular passage is written to those that are risen with Christ. And so let's talk about that. First thought I have this morning, and I didn't want to do all these separate slides, but these are four characteristics that we see in this passage this morning that are characteristics of believers. And so, you know, I challenge you. It's not because I'm just checking a box. I believe that the central point of both the saved, those that are rescued, those that are saved from their sins, and those that are lost in their sins, I believe the central point of our walk in love with Jesus Christ is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the work that Jesus came to do and the work that he has for those of us that are followers. And so, you know, when the Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, these are four characteristics of believers. First, we are risen with Christ. What does that mean? You see that in verse 1? He says, if you then be risen with Christ. And the Bible says, if there. I don't think it's trying to make you question or make the readers question or make the church at Colossae question themselves, but it's just saying this. So, you're a believer. You love Jesus. Well, then you're risen with Christ. So what is that about? Remember this. Here's what the Bible describes. Those that are not in Christ, they are dead spiritually. They are dead in their sins. They cannot do good. Now, of course, people can do relative good in humanity, but before God, they cannot. And so when we are risen with Christ, we are risen. And so risen from the what? From the dead. If you then be risen with Christ, and I once was dead, but now I'm not, right? And so I almost went into, you know, Amazing Grace, but it doesn't say I was. Does Amazing Grace say I was once dead? It doesn't. That'd be a great change to that. But I was dead, but now I'm alive. And so if you be risen with Christ, and so what that says is, now if you be risen with Christ, being risen with Christ means I've been given new life in Jesus, and I can, for the first time, I can do what is right. I can honor him. I can serve him. I can please him. And God's not difficult to please. But the Bible says if it's not in faith, then it is sin. So those that are not in Christ, they may do good deeds, but it's not in faith to Christ. But now, if you be risen in Christ, you can do what's right. You can honor the Father. That's a big deal. Second characteristic, we are dead to sin. Do you see that there in verse 3? He says, for you are dead. Now, we think, boy, I'm dead. There's nothing good about death, but there is when we are dead to sin and we are dead to the world, we are dead to the old ways. You see, that's the beautiful thing. This is encouraging. I've been risen with Christ. I've been given new life with Christ. My purpose in life has changed. My direction in life has changed. I know why I'm here. That's to honor Jesus Christ. And then the good news is, what I was once alive to, that was my sinful ways, and I loved it. I wallowed in it. I just couldn't get enough sin. Now, finally, when I'm a true believer in Jesus Christ, I'm dead to sin and I'm dead to the world. That means I can have victory. That's good news. It's the only time that death is good, that I'm dead to sin and I'm dead to the world because I'm alive in Christ. You see, you can't be alive in Christ and alive in the world. That's just not possible. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't love God and love the world. Now, we try as believers, okay? But you'll find that the Holy Spirit will do a work on us and he'll get us back. But here's the good news. I'm encouraged with this. I'm risen with Christ. I'm alive in Christ. I can finally do what's right. And I'm dead to sin and I'm dead to the world. Now, I want to tell you, I wish I had grasped this truth 30 years ago. I've been a Christian for more than 40 years. And I'm a guy that I will try harder. I will work harder. I always think everything can be fixed by just working harder. And I like that, you know, and so I'm always like, okay. And sometimes, you know, you guys know this, I'm not very skilled with my hands, right? So you guys, you know, laugh when we had all this building work, right? So it's no secret, but working harder might mean I find the right person, right? That can do the work, right? So, you know, working harder, work smarter, but it's this. So I always, my whole life, I really didn't grasp this simple truth of God's word that I don't have to sin. It's as simple as that. Now, it's complicated when we have given, you know, appetites to the flesh and our flesh has addictions and issues. It doesn't mean we'll be sinless, but I want to tell you, what I love is this. Caleb, I have all that I need to overcome sin. I never have one day where I don't sin. Remember, sin's just missing the mark of perfection. But I love this. I'm dead to sin and I'm dead to the world. And my reality is every time I put my head down on my pillow, it's a review time. It's a good time. When you put your head down on the pillow, that's probably not the time for you to open your Bible. Because you found that out too. It's like, oh, wow. You know, this is better than, what's the little thing that people take to sleep? Melatonin, right? And so, I tell you this, your flesh, right? Open your Bible, you know, and you'll be asleep in 5 minutes. That's because your flesh goes, go to sleep, you know, and your flesh doesn't want you to read the Bible. So it's probably not a great time, but I will tell you, when you put your head on the pillow, that's a time to really view the day. Hello, Lord. Hopefully it's not the first time you've talked to him. How's this day been? And you need to be honest with him. Where have I been unkind? My thoughts haven't been right. My actions haven't been right. How have I been eternal? Have I lifted up Christ to anyone? Did I share the love of Jesus Christ with anyone? Did I share my wonderful Savior with anyone? And maybe there are days where you didn't have the opportunity. So, but I would say that's not the norm. You always have opportunities. Make them, and then God gives them. But you should review the day. And then understand this. It's that, remember this. We didn't have to sin. We can do what's right because we're saved, because we're in Christ. We're risen to new life. And you know what? We're dead to the world, dead to sin. Third thing I want you to see is our life is hid. Now, this is so fascinating. Look at this in verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What does that mean? My life is hid with Christ in God. What does that mean? Here's what it means. I lose my identity. Eric, I am no longer Steve Hall. I am hid in Christ. I am an ambassador for Christ, and my identity is in Christ. Everything about me is about Jesus Christ. When I'm thinking right, Caleb, right? My life is hid in Christ. You know my struggle, and I know your struggles too. We struggle living for me, my, and mine, don't we? It's all about me. I struggle with that. I struggle with selfishness. But I want you to understand this. Now that I'm a born-again believer in Christ, my life is hid with Christ in God. It's not about me. I take backstage. Christ takes front stage. And it's not about me. And I've got to examine my life, right? I'm a talker. right? And some of you, you know, you can be very hard on a talker. You guys aren't hard on me, but some of you quiet people can be hard on talkers. I'm gonna be hard on the quiet people. But it's don't be hard on anybody. But it's our life is hid with Christ and God. Some of you that have that easier, and you're, you know, you can just stay in the background. I try to stay in the background. It just doesn't happen. And so maybe that's ego and all that kind of stuff. Maybe it's whatever. But my life is hid with Christ in God. Right? It's this. It's not about me. And that's critical. You know why? When life doesn't go the way I want it to, who's the boss? My life is hid with Christ in God. My life isn't mine anymore. My life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you this, we can trust him. I know this life is a mess. This life will bring us sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow. But I know there's one person I can trust. That's my Savior. That's my Lord Jesus Christ. And my life is hid with Christ in God. And whatever he decides, Father knows best. And the bad things are a cause of our sin. Sometimes mine specifically. Sometimes just that we're in a sinful, cursed world. Things are broken. Right? I mean, you know, it's just, you know, we're going to have to repave the asphalt. Bummer. And I wish we didn't have to. But you know what I'm just reminded of? Things break. You know, Jason was all upset because they spilled coffee in the back. I'll send you the bill later, Jason. But you know, here's the reality. It's okay. Somebody else was going to spill it. You just beat them to it. Things break. Things get messed up. And we've got to remember this. It's not about me. It's not about the carpet. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Let's honor him. It's not about us. But boy, is that tough. Every morning we wake up, it's about us. We've got to remember, oh, that's right, my life is hid with Christ in God. That's a blessing. It's good, because when things aren't going well, you just realize this ain't my life anyway. And you also remember this, I'm just passing through. This isn't where my permanent citizenship is. My permanent citizenship as a believer in Jesus Christ is in heaven. Fourth thing I want you to see is Christ is our life. Now, look at this statement here. I want you to see in verse 4. It says, when Christ, and it just gives this description that if we're reading the Bible too fast, we'll miss it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also with him, then shall you appear, also appear with him in glory. It's when Christ, and here's, let me just not miss this message. I'm not going to highlight this a ton, but Jesus is coming again. Remember this. He came the first time because he had a work to do. He didn't come to defeat sin in terms of the mankind. He came to defeat sin spiritually, okay? The first time Jesus came, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The first time that he came, he had to go to the cross. He had to take upon himself the wrath of God so that you and I don't have to. He was buried. And then he rose again. That's the gospel. That's the only way to have your sins removed. There's not one person in here good enough. Who was I talking to? I was talking to a young man. I won't mention the name. But this young man, I go, well, can you get to heaven by being good? And he goes, no, you say that a lot. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, thank you, thank you. Maybe that's my hobby horse, right? I don't know. And so I said, okay, I'm so glad you got that one down. I'll try to say it less, but I'm going to say it again. You want to understand this is that the only way to heaven is through the work of Christ, not my goodness. He paid my price. He took my eternal punishment so that I don't have to. And his righteousness is given to me by simple faith in who he is and what he's done. Jesus is amazing. The question is he your life? That statement there, I'm intimidated by it. Just look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, that is just a mere assumption. It's a mere statement. It doesn't say, oh, you know, who should be your life? Who is who you? It's that he's our life. Do you eat, drink, and breathe Jesus Christ? Is he your life? Is he my life, right? Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that Jesus is my life. There's a million distractions for me just as well as you. My life is pulled more into spiritual things because of my role, but you see, I better be careful that I don't think I'm more spiritual just because my role pulls me into spiritual things. Where am I at when I have free time? Am I drawn to the scriptures? Am I drawn to Christ? Is Christ my life? Is Christ the first thing that I say, oh man, I got a couple hours here. Wow, let's spend some time at the feet of Jesus. Sadly, I would say this is a sad public confession. That's not the norm. If I have a two-hour break, I'll say, man. And I say, this is so nice. I think I'll take a two-hour break. I didn't say there's a problem with the two-hour break. But the problem is I just had a two-hour break earlier. I need a second one. You know, I'm getting older. Is Christ my life where when I have 2 hours, I'm like, oh, I want to redeem this 2 hours. You know, and I'm not preaching this so you're feeling guilty. I'm just preaching this to say it's just made as a statement, and I'm intimidated by that statement. Christ, who is our life? I want to tell you this. He is my life. Do I live that? Do I represent that? Do I honor him? So many people I talk to, yeah, I'm a Christian. And there's zero evidence. That ought to terrify them. Because if you're really a Christian, if you're really a follower of Jesus, you'll have evidence. People will know you're a Christian. And when you mess up, people will call you on the carpet. Trust me, I've been there. How many of you as Christians, you've been called on the carpet by lost people, right? And there's nothing worse, is there? You're upset because none of us like to be confronted with our sin. And you want to strike back at how bad they are. And that the Lord smites your heart and you're like, oh. I looked up a man's name just this past week. I've told you about the story. I've been gone from P&G for about 9 years now. It was some time before I had left. I was so unkind to this person. I may have said the truth. It was so wrong. I told this guy, I said, you're the dumbest person I've ever met in my life. I said, and he was my boss. And it can sound so cool and so, it was so wrong. I'm still bothered with it today. I looked him up. Somebody encouraged me to do that. I looked him up on social media. He has a unique name. I couldn't find him. I never apologized. I regret that. I didn't like this guy. Not only was he stupid, and you know, it's not a sin to be stupid, but he was a jerk. But I was absolutely out of line. I was wrong, you see, because I'm a believer. I'm risen with Christ. I should be dead to sin. And you know this? You know how I should respond to jerks? With love. And I didn't. Oh, I want to reach out to him, and you know what? He may chew me up and spit me out because, boy, was I a horrible representative of Jesus Christ. But I still think I need to go back. And not because, you know, just that's the Christian thing to do, right? It's the right thing to do. I felt bad. I've told you this. I was switching assignments, so that's why I had such boldness. I had already told him, I said, I have a new assignment, so don't go talking to anybody. It's already done. So, you know, that's why I was so sassy. I would see him in the hallway. This would be in months and years later. And every time I'd walk, he'd lower his head. And in my flesh, I was like, that's right. I got to be careful I don't say his name because his name's very unique. I just want to tell you, that was wrong. It was sin. Did it feel good? Oh, it felt good. You see, there's pleasure in sin for a season. You see, but he didn't call me on the carpet. He didn't say, wow, and you say you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've just been so unkind to me? You've just ripped me up one side down the other? I didn't cuss or anything like that, but do you need to cuss to be wrong? See, we always worry about that. I didn't cuss. I was so wrong. You know, we've been confronted, but I wish he had confronted me. And so I just, is Christ our life? You know who I was living for at that time? I was living for me. And I want to be clear. I just want to be clear. I want everybody in this room to understand this. There is pleasure in sin. Sin can be delightful. Oh, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sin will bring destruction. But I want you to understand this. Don't you ever accuse me of not letting you know the truth. You will enjoy sin when you first taste it. Oh, that's so good. I've had people tell me that. They go, you are wrong. And they don't say it that way. And I think, you haven't seen the seed bear its fruit yet. See, I want my life to be about Christ. You see, those are descriptions. Christ is our life. I'm so intimidated by that. And so I want it to be that Christ is my life. Well, this morning, what I'm going to share with you is how we can, as believers, I'm talking to believers now. If you're lost here this morning, I pray, don't leave this morning lost. You can have your sins removed. You can be forgiven of your sins. You can be made right with God right now. You can be made right with God in your seat. I've been witnessing to people, and I remember I was witnessing to this person, and I said, when are you going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? And they looked at me and said, I just did. I was excited. And you in your seat, you can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ right there. It's not ceremony. It's not pomp and circumstance. It's a heart that is broken over your sin, and you realize Jesus Christ is the only hope that you can have to have your sins removed, and he does all the changing. You don't have to make yourself better because you can't make yourself better. A lot of people think that. I've just got to work on some things, preacher, before I'm acceptable to Jesus. We're never acceptable for Jesus except by grace. I want you to understand this. In your seat, broken over your sin, you can be saved. You don't have to wait to the invitation. You don't have to wait. In fact, I'd tell you this. If you're broken over your sin and you know you're not saved, you should call out in your heart for the Lord to save you from your sins. And then you know what? He'll take over from there, and he'll lead you to truth, and he'll do the rest. But now the rest of the message is for believers, and we're going to get back to that things above. I want you to see this. The first thought I have for us is seek the things of God. Now this morning, I'm going to give you the best marriage counseling that you could ever have. I'm going to give you the best parenting counseling that you could ever have. I'm going to give you the best counseling so that you can be the best at whatever you do, and I mean this. It is, I've seen this. I see it all the time. I've seen... And I, you know what, I won't even be, I'm not being critical, it's just, it's probably not going to happen here. But I think it gets attendance up, and a 10-week series, How to Have a Better Marriage. 8-week series, How to Be a Better Parent. Married people would probably come more faithfully to that series of 10-week series, How to Have a Better Marriage. People with children would come, how to be a better parent. The problem is why I struggle with those series and why I won't do any. And maybe you pray for me. If it's sin, I don't want to be in sin. It's because of this. Understand this. There's several reasons. Let me just give you the whole portfolio of why I won't do that. Because if I preached a series on marriage, a lot of people in this room aren't married. Secondly, if I preach a series on marriage, then I'm at risk of getting your focus in the wrong spot. Let me be honest. I knew this before I was a pastor. It's just been doubly confirmed. Most people don't have a very good marriage. They tolerate one another. I know that's sad. They tolerate one another. They cohabitate because believers know, you know, God hates all divorce. But most people don't have a thriving marriage. They don't. I wish they did, but they don't. So imagine... I know miserable marriages here in our church, outside of our church, and don't worry about it. You know what? I just want to tell you this. You should be encouraged. It's not about you having a happy marriage. Is a happy marriage a blessing of God? It is good. But is that the objective? It's not. Let me tell you what we're going to cover this morning. You want to have a better marriage? Don't make that your focus. Make the Lord Jesus Christ and the things above your focus. You want to be a better parent? Don't make that your focus. In fact, let me just show you Colossians chapter 3. Let me give you the Bible summary, because the Bible doesn't say much about marriage. Are you kind of blown away how the Bible says very little about marriage? To do an 8-week series, man, you have to stretch out the few passages that give us instruction on marriage. Because the Bible isn't about you having a happy, long, loving, wonderful marriage. God's all for that. But the Bible's about Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong. The point is, if you focus on your marriage, the devil wins. Your marriage may improve. But if your love for Jesus Christ doesn't, what have you accomplished? My life is not about my happiness. I want to be happy. I do. And I think I can have joy in the Lord over all circumstances. And the key is that I would focus on Christ. Do you understand? I'm going to get so accused of different things, right? I'm happily married. But I will tell you this. This is just the grand scheme. I've got 3 kids that I love. But I will tell you this. They are nothing, and my marriage is nothing compared to Jesus Christ. I'm not putting down my wife. I'm not. But I will just tell you, it is through experience and through God's word. And I love my wife. I do. But I will tell you this. The greatest joy in my life is serving and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will tell you this. God gave me a great partner. You talk about blessed, and it's a rarity that my wife is so aligned, she'll do anything I need for the ministry's sake, and I love that. And so you know what? Don't you get puffed up. I destroy people. And I'm not trying to. But I'll tell you this. I love this. God blessed me with my wife, and my wife made me a better servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's why I love to be married. It's a pain in the neck a lot. How many of you, okay, I just really raise your hand. How many of you say marriage is not, just sometimes. How many of you say marriage is never a pain in the neck? Raise your hand. Okay, you guys, do you really feel that way? I love that. I love that. Well, I'll help you have conflict within your marriage. I love that. And I want you to know this. You know how to get your marriage better? Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clay, Indiana. I didn't know Clay, Indiana. And I think I've known them for a couple years. Hello, Clay, Indiana, if you're there. I think you're okay if I share this. If not, I'll repent. But I've known Clay, Indiana now for a couple years, right? So Clay, Indiana came into my life there. Deanna is cousins with Elisa Niederlender. And so they wanted to have their wedding here. So I know we can fit 200 people in the sanctuary, because we did. And so we had their wedding here, and they wanted me to perform the wedding ceremony. And if I'm going to perform a wedding ceremony, I said, well, I want to have marital counseling with you. And they got all nervous, right? Because guess what? You have skeletons in your past. 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 Oh, I do too. There's so many, it just looks like a morgue, right? And they thought I was going to try to bring all the skeletons from their past and have them deal with them and say, did you know about this? And they were terrified that I was, you know, and so first time we met, you know, I didn't know this. They've since told me this. In fact, they only told me this in the last few months. And so they said, we were just terrified. We didn't know what marital counseling was. I will tell you this. You want to have marital counseling with me? Here's what the first session is going to be. I'm just going to tell you. We spent 2 hours on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told them that day. I said, I'm going to tell you this, and this is the most important foundation for your marriage. Are you ready? Are you taking notes? And I said, you need to be gospel-centric. You need to be gospel-focused. And I went through the gospel because I didn't even know them. I wanted to make sure they understood the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So I went through the gospel, and then I told them, I took them to scriptures, and I said, this will be the key to a wonderful marriage is that you too are focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that Christ is your focus, not your marriage, not your kids. And I'm not suggesting neglect your marriage, neglect your kids. I'm just telling you the key. You want a wonderful marriage? It's about Jesus Christ. And the way you'll know how you're treating your wife, how you're treating your husband, how you're treating your kids, how you're raising your kids, that's the barometer that says this. It's not this, because I've been there. I've had be nice as a theme of my life for 54 years. I told you when I was 3 years old, right? I was in a program. It was so fitting for me. And my mom was teaching me this verse, be ye kind one to another. I've probably shared this story before. Have I shared this? Have you heard this? And so, you know, we had a very large church. So it was this program. So they were just running the kids through, right? And so you know, be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. But all I had to know as a three-year-old was be ye kind one to another. But here's how my mom taught me, be, and so it's been a theme since I've been three at least. So I had that verse, Ephesians, what is that, Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. Obviously, I didn't say the reference back then. And so I stood before the mic, right? I got in front of the mic, and, you know, it was much lower. And so I stood before the mic, and this is how my mom taught me. She taught me this, just like moms will do, be ye kind one to another. 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 So I get in front of the mic. Be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another. Literally, they told me this. They said they carried me off the stage, and I was still going, be ye kind one to another, right? Because I think I learned it this way, that my mom said it 24 times in a row, so I must say it 24 times in a row because I couldn't read yet. I just figured Ephesians 4:32 said, be ye kind one to another. I already had an issue when I was 3 years old, so I thought, this is reasonable. So I tell you this, I want to be nicer. And I've tried. I've tried so hard to be nice. Believe it or not. You guys are like, liar. I've tried to be nice, and I want to be nice. Trying doesn't get it. You know when I like to be nice is when it benefits me. That's easy to be nice. But the only way I can be nice consistently when other people aren't is my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that confrontation that I had at work many, many, many years ago still bothers me today because I didn't make it right. The Lord's forgiven me. There's no doubt about it. When I was saved, he forgave me for all my sins. I kept that sin in my heart. I never asked that man to forgive me, and I finally did ask the Lord to forgive me, but I still want to make it right with him if I can. I need to humble myself. But I tell you all this, for a short span, so let's just say this, let's say I'm going to be a better husband. Focused. Boom, man, I'm boop, 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 boop. And I develop something that says, when I'm not, no, zaps me. I'm going to be a better husband. My effort won't last. What'll change me is when I seek after those things above. And I want to tell you this, when I seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say there's, you know, so that's why if I had a seminar or a series on marriage, I think I would hurt our church. I'm not anti-marriage. I'm pro-marriage. I really am. I know the scripture teaches this. Anybody that's honest, if you try, it lasts a little while, and then it doesn't last. The only one that can give me victory is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what the Bible says. If you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are from above. Caleb, that's the key. I love this. Do you love the simplicity of Christianity? The simplicity of Christianity is that I must seek after Christ. Not to be saved, but because I want to know him, and the more I know him, the more I'll love him, the more I'll honor him, and everything else falls into place. I did not suggest this morning that you neglect your children, that you neglect your family, that you neglect your spouse. That is not this message at all, but I will tell you this. The key is not for you to go buy another book that tells you how to be a better husband. If you can read that book in the context of these are good reminders of where I'm failing, and my solution is not trying to follow this book's instruction, because most books won't tell you that the answer is only in Jesus Christ. You must immerse yourself in Christ. You must pursue Christ. You must make your life about Christ, because Christ is our life. And if Christ is truly our life, everything else will be better. And I want to tell you this as well. This is encouraging. Maybe not. It's encouraging if you have a horrible marriage. You can have victory. Focus on Christ and seek after those things which are above. It doesn't mean your marriage is going to be fixed, because that's not what it's about. It's about honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. If you thought success was that you fixed your marriage, that everything was right, your kids were doing exactly what they should be doing, then you're going to be disappointed. Victory is seeking after Christ. Christ.
It'll make you a better husband. It'll make you a better spouse. It'll make you a better employee. All those things are so simple that we must know Christ. Oh, I beg you. I'll tell you this. I am preaching to myself. I thought I might be today with the snow. I love that you've come out today. But I'll tell you this. You say, Lord, help that insane man get this singular concept so we can move on in the Bible. I'm not ready to move on. I want to preach it in the variety that the scriptures have, but I tell you this. It's all about Christ. What is your issue? You guys could come down here and this lovely couple. Now, this lovely couple here, and I love that. You know this? What a blessing. God's blessed you. And now, what are you going to do because it's draining to have a difficult marriage. I know, only because people have told me. I'm really, when we're not getting along, it's harder to preach. So I love that. What are you going to do with the blessing that God's given you? And I love you guys. You know that. I love your heart. But you better never assume your heart's going to be that way tomorrow. You better pursue Christ today. You understand that? The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You all could line up, and I'm not your priest, and I don't want you to confess to me, and that's not what it's about. But if you did that today, I would forget things, so that's the beautiful thing. When you share with me details of your life, I do forget them, so be encouraged with that. I'm not looking at you going, I've forgotten. You'll be very disappointed with me when I forget, but there's a benefit that I have forgotten, so I'm not thinking about you in a bad sense. So just know that. I wish I would remember better just because it looks like I would care more. But for whatever reason, I remember all numbers, but I don't remember much about life. For some of you who don't know, I was a numbers guy all my life, and so I remember every number. I just don't remember life. There's some good about that, but then it's like, I don't remember holding my kids. Show me a picture. Well, that is me. And I know, it sounds weird. So if you all came and you were marching up and you said, Pastor, I struggle with these three things, and they beat me up all the time. They chew me up. They spit me out. I'd say, Anthony, you need to seek after those things from above. You need to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to spend time at his feet. You need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be in his word. You need to really have some serious prayer time. And then you need to speak it. You know what? You need to have time and quiet time at his feet where you're learning about him. You need to be in prayer with him, praising him, thanking him, lifting him up. And then you need to tell others about him. That'll change your life. Let your life, let Christ truly be your life. Then the next person comes up and they say, well, Pastor, and they give me three different things that are completely different than Anthony's. I would say the same thing. If that's boring to you, I don't have much else. Seek those things which are above. And here's the good news. You know why I love not preaching the series on marriage or family? And we'll preach as we get into Colossians 3 is because this is my observation, that most marriages aren't that awesome. Everybody would leave discouraged. But you see, you can leave encouraged because you can have victory in Jesus Christ. And you know what? God's so good, maybe your marriage will get better. God's pro-good marriage, just in case you misunderstood me. But he doesn't fix them all. My best friend has the worst marriage of anybody I know. Every time I sit across a table at him at a restaurant, I'm humbled. Christ is his life more than Christ is my life. And what he goes home to every day, I don't know how he does it. I want to be like Jesus, but I want to be like my friend. He loves the Lord. You know, he learned a long time ago that my joy in life is not going to be that God fixes my marriage. And you know this, how much do you think he'd like his marriage fixed? You think he'd like his wife to kiss him? She doesn't. Gone by so many years, I don't ask. Because you know what? I realized this. Me asking was actually discouraging him. You know what we talk about? We talk about Jesus Christ. We talk about how wonderful he is, how we can honor him, how we can serve him, how we can love him. Seek those things which are from above. And that's Christ. I'm going to give you the second point. And just so you know, I told you I wasn't going to get through verse 7. My second point is this. And there's a lot that I'm going to wait till next week. Love the things of God. Seek the things above, or seek the things of God. Love the things of God. And I'll pick up on this next week. Let me just, you guys know a little bit of my history. I've never done anything right for the right reason, ever. It's really weird that I'm a pastor. It feels a little surreal, but God just kind of made things happen, and I thank him for that. But everything in my life, I want to tell you this, I love ministry. I love being a pastor. I love serving the Lord. But you know this, everything that I've ever done for the Lord, I didn't want to do. I'd be like, I told you this, I'll just tell you a real quick story, right? I was at a large church when I grew up, and so I went to a youth group, 125, 150 kids, and the bus director, we had 100 buses, he comes out, and I'll just quick story, he comes out and he goes, hey, I want you teenagers to come out and help me with bus visitation. I just started driving, my parents would only let me drive to church. I was finding every reason to go to church. And so I said, you know, I'm awesome. I'm coming to visitation tomorrow morning, 7:30 on Saturday. What teenager gets up at 7:30 on Saturday? Any here? Oh, wow, that's good. I wasn't that teenager. About noon, you know. So I got up 7:30 that Saturday, went to bus visitation. And out of 150 teenagers, how many teens were there? One. I was, you know, it's just the way you view life. You know, I was like, you're welcome. This is amazing. I mean, top 1%, man. Full of myself. The bus director said, hey, Steve, I'm going to take you out in bus visitation day. We got a new route I want you to visit. Okay. Touch me. I'm awesome. So I thought, man, I'm going to go do my good deed, and then we're done. Well, this guy was a little bit pushy. And so we went on visitation. It was good, you know. I mean, I did love the Lord, but he wasn't my life. And after we were done visitation, he goes, hey, I need you to come tomorrow morning because I need you to show the bus driver all these pickups that we got. And I don't know, the Lord worked on my heart a little bit to where I so didn't want to. I was like, right. And so I said, okay. And so you got to understand, this bus route was an hour away from the church. Because when you have 100 routes, you kind of got to keep expanding. So that meant I had to get to church on Sunday morning at 7:30. I was tired on Monday, let me tell you. But so I get to church on 7:30 on Sunday morning, and they have all of these in plastic, you know, like engraved. Bus captains, 100 of them. There was mine already made. Steve Hall. I'm like, bus captain. The Lord, he convicted my heart. And so here's what happened. This was before caller ID. You've heard this before, probably, some of you. Before caller ID, Jim, his name was Jim, he would call every Friday night. You know how to call block? I would have blocked his number. You know, spam, whatever, you know. He would call every Friday night. It's one of the reasons today, if you ever call my house, I never answer the phone. Somebody else has to because it just might be Jim. And so I would never answer the phone, but my mom would. She goes, hey, Steve, it's Jim. I'm like, oh, I'm dead. I died. So I'd get on the phone, and Jim would go, hey, coming out for prayer breakfast tomorrow? Yes. And I went to prayer breakfast. And then this guy, he was responsible for 100 buses. I can't tell you how many Saturdays in a row he went out with me. He must have sensed it. He goes, hey, I'll go out with you again this week. No need. No need, I'm good. I'll help you. Thanks for nothing. So, I mean, the bus route just bonkers. We had 40 kids the first week. You know, it's a different age. It was, you know, 40 years ago, different age. You know, you'd knock on somebody's door. Hi. Yeah, they can come. Whoa, thank you. I mean, today, you know, it's like, let me give you my credentials. Here's my my fingerprints. You know, it's a lot more difficult for a bus route today, right? So 40 kids, man, I mean, it's just chaos, and they just kept coming, just kept it coming, right? We had a 56-passenger bus, and they would reward you for exceeding that capacity. It's like, you're awesome! You know, I'm like, isn't that kind of wrong? But it'd be like, they had this wall of faith where if you had 100 kids on your 56-passenger bus, you'd get your picture taken. It'd be like, that's who we want to be like. And so, you know, those pictures of Noah's Ark that inappropriately show the animals popping out of Noah's Ark, that was really appropriate for these buses. Kids' heads were sticking out, and it was just... So anyway, I'll try to make a long story longer. Anyway, so I hated it. Hated every minute of it. My heart wasn't right. I didn't love the things of God. You've heard the story. The young lady I'm about to tell you about, she would be in her mid-40s. She was 4 years old. And I know this would not be appropriate in the 21st century, right? But it was just a different time. Her name was Mary. Mary was sitting on my lap. Not because I wanted Mary to sit on my lap. As you all know, I'm not physical touch. But every time Mary got on the bus, if I happened to be sitting down, he'd be like, it was a detachment. Hey, what are you doing here? And so Mary just would sit on my lap, you know, and I was, you know, keep the kids. I just wanted to keep them alive, right? Less blood, but the better. And so Mary, this is after months of this. Jim calling me every Friday night. I'm mad. I'm tired. I mean, what's wrong? I'm on bus captain. You know, and I was just tired. And Mary looked at me one Sunday morning, and she goes, Steve, I love you. And I didn't say anything. But in my heart, this is literally the voice in my head. I go, I don't love you. I hated it. God spoke to my heart that day. And he said, oh, Steve, it's not about you loving Mary. It wasn't an audible voice, just in case you were wondering. But he said, the question is, do you love me? I don't know if I spoke audibly, but I was in a different world with Mary sitting on my lap, and I'm having this argument with the Lord, and I'm going, that is not right. The way I got into this bus ministry is just wrong. This guy is a manipulator. He is abusive. He is, you know, and I could go on and on and on, and I said, you know what? I didn't ask for this. He didn't ask me if I asked for this, and here I am. And he's going, no, it's not. I love you, Lord, but I don't want any part of this. He goes, oh, no. If you love me, you'd love Mary. I don't know what the preacher preached that morning, but the Lord preached in my heart. I didn't love the things of God. He broke my heart that morning. And I ask you this morning, do you love the things of God? The rest of the story is this. I ended up loving the bus ministry. This will tell you how much I ended up just loving. Mary was always on my lap. You know, and so one morning, time had gone, and it was 3 years. 3 years we had this route. So Mary was still on my lap. Maybe she was 5, 6, or 7. I don't even know. You say, oh, you know, there was nothing wrong in that day. I know that sounds so weird. I don't even know. Just our times have changed so much. But I was beginning to teach, right? So I would teach our youth group, right? So I was beginning to teach in our youth group. I was about 19 years old at this time. I was 16 when I started that, when the Lord dealt with my heart. And so I felt this, Mary sitting on my lap, and I felt this warm sensation. I was dealing with some guys. I felt this warm sensation on my leg. And I'm like, she peed on me. And when I looked down, she had puked on me. And it had run down my shirt, down my, where I felt it through my leg. And Mary was crying. And it was a wonderful day because my heart was changed. Don't go puking on me. But, you know, God will change your heart. I'm not telling you have to try harder to love the things of God, but you know what I'm telling you to do? Why don't you just serve him and he'll change your heart? I have a story with every single ministry in my life. I never started it for the right reason. But oh, I will tell you this. There's nothing better than serving God. Love the things of God. This morning was a simple message. It's all about Jesus Christ. If you want to honor him, seek him and love him. And that's what Christianity is about. You'll be a better husband. You'll be a better wife. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better employee. How about one thing? If you focus on being a better employee, you might be a better employee. You might be. But what have you accomplished if it doesn't honor Christ? Do you understand the message this morning? What are your struggles? The issue. We need to seek and love the things of God and the person of Jesus Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Let's pray.